Listen to these words, and as you listen to them, I want you to think about, where have you often heard these words? If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I can have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Always trust, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Where do you normally hear that passage? In weddings. Well, guess what? I'm not preaching on marriage today. You better be glad she's up there. I think she could still throw something from there, Jerry. And I want to tell you, the original intent of this message was not about weddings and not about marriages. Does it apply to weddings and marriage? Yes. But that's not the original intent of this message. In the context of what's going on here, Paul is talking to a broken church. This passage speaks to a broken church about their greatest need. The Corinthian church was not a good church. Within their church, there was division. Within their church, there was fighting. Within their church was privilege and rank. Within their church was so many problems. And that's why Paul writes 1 and 2 Corinthians to the Corinth church, to try to correct and give them an idea that they were living wrong as a church. This passage on love happens right in the middle of a long discussion about spiritual gifts. It happens right in the middle of a passage about spiritual gifts. And that's what Paul is really talking more about than anything else. Because, you see, they elevated some of the spiritual gifts as the most desirable. They said, this gift is better than that one. And they even went so far as to say, if you don't have this gift, you're not really a Christian. Goes all against what Paul is saying in chapter 12 and chapter 14. Because Paul is trying to correct them in chapter 12 and chapter 14 and let them know you've got it wrong about spiritual gifts. We talked about spiritual gifts in the discernment class this morning. Everybody's gift is just as important as everybody else's. If you have one that places you up front, you're just as important as one that places you behind the scenes. Because the church doesn't work without all the gifts. But then Paul even goes one step further to say that if I have a spiritual gift and I don't use it with love, it's for nothing. It is for nothing if you don't use it for love. Paul speaks confessionally about himself and about using gifts without love. Now, this is a rhetorical device that can be used when you're speaking. You see, I could stand up here, and I'm going to make sure I don't do it right now, and point fingers at what you should be doing right to love other people. I imagine how that would be received. And I think I'm going to be pretty accurate in my imagining. Walls will be built, defenses will be established, and you will fight against what I say. If I call out people and say, this is what you need to do. Paul realized that. So Paul talks about himself. And when Paul talks about himself confessionally, you are supposed to overhear him and ask yourself, am I doing what he says I shouldn't be doing? Am I doing what Paul says would be a bad thing if he did it? That's what this is all about. And it begins this chapter and it ends this chapter. That Paul is talking confessionally about himself. And see what he says? He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, it's nothing. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. He says, I'm only a sounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can tell what God wants to people, if I can fathom all mysteries and know all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, it's for nothing. It is for nothing. You see, Paul's talking confessionally. And we should be listening as Paul does this to say, am I doing that? That's what Paul's asking you to do. He's asking you to examine yourself, to evaluate yourself. Am I doing what Paul says would amount to nothing? Now, you've heard me define love many different times. And I hope some of you have this definition memorized by now. Because I only know love is this. Love looks out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs me. Love looks out for the other person's best interest, even if it costs me. Is that not the love that Jesus Christ showed? He looked out for our best interest and sacrificed himself to be the atonement, to be the payment for our sins. It cost Jesus Christ. to show love to us. And that's what love should be. So in this passage that so often gets used in weddings, love is described with verbs to address their problems, the problems of this church. There's some people that think Paul was writing along in chapter 12 and he goes, oh yeah, I got to tell you about love too. And then wrote chapter 13 and then went, oh yeah, I got to get back to the topic I was talking about, spiritual gifts. I don't believe that. Because he says at the end of chapter 12, he's after talking about gifts, he says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. Paul included this on purpose. And it's part of the topic about spiritual gifts. And Paul gives us words about love that are verbs, that are action things, that are things that we do. And if you match up all these verbs that he gives in this chapter, and you go back and read through all of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you find out he's addressing the problems of the whole church. He's not addressing marriage. He's not addressing interpersonal relationships that are love relationships. He's addressing how the people in the church love one another and what they do about that. That's what he's addressing. Now, don't get me wrong. It applies to a marriage. Okay? If I'm not patient with my wife, how far do you think that's going to get me? Guys, don't answer. That's a trick question. If I'm not kind with my wife, if I'm boasting all the time and proud all the time, how will that build my relationship with my wife? And ladies, you can ask the opposite. How will that build your relationship with your husband? It won't if you don't do these things. There is something right there in the middle of the passage at the end of verse 5 that so many times with marriage counseling I spend a lot of time about. It says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Do you know what we often do in fights? Oh yeah, remember 2 weeks ago when you, remember a year ago? Well, if you've resolved the issue, then why are you bringing them up again? That's what I want to say. But I want you to remember this. Paul gives all of these things because the church was not showing love to one another. Guess what happened when they had communion? Why is there a big discussion in 1 Corinthians about communion? Because when they had communion, if you're rich, you can come eat first. And if there happens to be anything left over, you poor folks can have something too. They were doing that at communion. Does that sound like love? And Paul says, look, that's not how it should be. We should be different than that. We should be looking out for each other's best interest, even if it's going to cost me. What's the American way? What's in it for me? Right? If I show love to somebody else, what am I going to get out of it? If I help somebody else, what am I going to receive back? Did you notice that's not in this chapter? Godly love does not do that. Godly love does not ask, what's in it for me? And I've heard that many, many times throughout my ministry. I'll be talking to people in a church, and I'll say, we need to be about doing this. And I'll hear people say this. Well, what are we going to get out of it? Well, how do they help us? If we're going to help them, how do they help us? Guess what? Those statements are not love. Those statements are not love. Do you think Jesus hung on the cross and said, well, if I die here, what am I going to get out of you? What are you going to do for me? How will I benefit by dying for you? Monday, Thursday, the last night that Jesus spends with his disciples as he institutes the Lord's Supper, he tells them this. Chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he tells them, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I want to emphasize something. Love's not just a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. Love requires some action. Love requires putting my feet into the fire. Love requires me to give up some things. Love requires me to look out for your best interest, not mine. So love asks, what can I do to serve you? No qualifications. No, I will love you if you will do this. That's not biblical love. The love that God showed us, the agape love, or the Hebrew word is chesed, that type of love didn't ask, what am I going to get out of this? It asked, how can I serve you? How can I make a way for you to be right? How can I provide salvation and eternal life for you? And God said, it's going to cost me. And I'm going to do it. When we love and serve one another, it's going to cost you. And if it doesn't, then Paul wonders, is it really love? Is it really love if it doesn't cost you? You've got to ask yourself that. How are you serving? Are you serving to get something in return? Are you washing the dishes because that'll give me some points with my wife? No, I wash the dishes because I get to play in the bubbles. And that's the only time she lets me play in the bubbles. And then I found out, she's not in here, so I'll tell you her secret. Then I found out she was watering the soap down so I don't get as big of bubbles. Imagine that. I mean, I wash dishes because I love my wife. I vacuum the floor because I love my wife. Not because I love vacuuming. Because I don't. And I'll tell a little story on myself. The first time I decided to vacuum to surprise her, I vacuumed the whole house. And it wore me out. I was drenched in sweat. And I'm like, no wonder she doesn't like doing this. You know what I found out later? There's a little button on the vacuum cleaner. Oh, some of you got it already, don't you? It drives itself. I didn't know that when I vacuumed. But I did it because I loved her. And I still love her. After almost 39 years. That's why I did it. And I still continue to do it. I don't care. I can, as you've probably heard somebody else say, I could step on dust bunnies the rest of my life. It don't bother me. Folks, love says, what can I do to serve you? And Paul didn't write this passage for weddings and marriages, particularly. He wrote it for how the church operates together. And you know what's so exciting about the church? There are other people that join churches that aren't like you. And they do things differently than you do. And some of the different things that they do might irritate you. And God says, will you love them still? Will you do these actions still? In our world, in the United States, for the most part, we can pick who we marry. But we don't often pick all the people that join the church. And they're all loved by God. And we need to reach out and love them. And this church wasn't doing that. And that's why Paul writes this passage. To say you're not showing love to each other. And you're looking for what's in it for you. And you're making a hierarchy about which things are better than other things. So I want to ask you, as we move towards the Lord's Supper, are you living a life that shows this kind of love? And when I say that, are you living a life that shows this kind of love? A love that says, I give myself up completely for another. For their best benefits. Is this the kind of love that you're showing? Let's pray. Lord, this is not easy. And it's particularly hard sometimes because there's people we do love. And there's people we don't love. But you've asked us to show the same type of love to all people. A love that's self-giving. A love that's not looking for a return. A love that's not looking for a bonus in what I do. A love that reaches out and says, I have your best interest in mind, even if it costs me. Lord, help us to examine our hearts. Is that the kind of love that we're showing to other people? Whether it be in a marriage relationship or with friends, or whether it be society in general, are we showing that kind of love? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.